Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy it is to welcome you to Just a Minute. And for a change of scene, this week we are recording in the glorious city of Bradford, which I recently discovered has the UK's highest urban water fountain. And the people of Bradford here assembled have also just discovered that it has the UK's highest urban water fountain. We've all learnt something new today. Now time to introduce you to the four marvellous, talented people playing Just a Minute this week. They are Zoe Lyons, Chris Cantrell, Paul Merton and Lucy Porter. Let's go wild for all four of them. Zoe, we are going to start with you, and the subject is as cool as a cucumber.
Oh.
Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on as cool as a cucumber, starting now?
I really wish I was as cool as a cucumber. Unfortunately, I'm at that point in life where I'm as hot as a horseradish. But to be cool as a cucumber, just walking into clubs, into the VIP area, straight past that velvet rope, all the other vegetables and fruits looking at you in envy. Oh, there they go, those cool cucumbers, clicking their fingers if they had any of those digits. I'd love to be as cool as a cucumber. You could just dip me in your...
Lucy.
I think she said, I'd love to be as cool as a cucumber.
Yes, the repetition of love.
That's how much you want it.
That's how much I want it.
Lucy, it's a correct challenge. You get the subject with 28 seconds remaining. As cool as a cucumber. Your time starts now.
I would love to be as cool as a cucumber, equally at home in a salad or a jug of Pimm's in the summertime, just getting drunk slowly with my friend the strawberries and some mint, just really tearing it up in that ewer. Trying to think of another word for jug there, proved difficult.
Tearing it up. Paul.
It was hesitation.
It was hesitation, yes it was. And you've got the subject now, with 9 seconds remaining, as cool as a cucumber, starting now.
As I stood facing the firing squad, I knew there was only one thing that could save me. I would have to bluff my way out. I looked at the chief marksman straight in the eye and I said to him words I shall never forget.
Well, and Paul spoke as the whistle went, gained the point. Now, Chris.
Yo.
We are with you, my love.
Okay.
And your subject is Bradford Cathedral.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got local knowledge, you've got the chops.
I'm just discovering that it's got one right now. but I'm sure this is going to go great.
So you've got 60 seconds on Bradford Cathedral. Starting now.
Bradford Cathedral is a beautiful old building, the place where this city's only saint is interned. That person is, of course, Bradford Jesus. Now, when I was growing up here locally, I always remember there was a man walking around in sandals and a monk's smock. Everybody knew this man was of a holy descent because, as my dad always used to say, when he was his age, the man was still there. It's true, though, isn't it? He was young for 100 years.
Lucy, you challenged.
I'm fascinated by Bradford Jesus.
Me too.
So just walked around looking like...
Dressed like a monk, walked around in sandals and waved at everybody, was the heart of the city, made everyone feel good, and then he passed away 250 years old, I think. There's no official records. And that's like a great sadness fell upon the city.
I'm not surprised. Bradford Jesus sounds exactly what everyone needs in times of stress.
He was a great man.
Well, listen, Lucy, your challenge.
My challenge was the repetition of man.
There were a few men in there, yes. So it's a correct challenge. You went great guns, Chris. You spoke for 32 seconds, which means 28 are available to Lucy on the subject of Bradford Cathedral, starting now. What was that?
She's glitching.
The dentures have gone.
You know when you get a subject and then you realise you've got absolutely no idea what to say about it?
Yeah. Paul challenged.
Well, It was a hesitation and an unusual vowel sound.
Yes.
And a part sneeze. It was lots of things, really, wasn't it?
It was
good.
Things were coming out of me I didn't know could come out of me, yeah. Therefore.
Yes, I mean, it didn't really start.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible.
Very unprofessional, I thought.
It was.
26 seconds, Paul. It's with you, the subject. Bradford Cathedral, starting now.
You've stolen my act.
Yes. No, he's licking your material.
Whatever it is, it's contagious.
Yeah. Lucy, you're challenged within the rules.
It was hesitation.
Yeah. And stealing your material.
And stealing my material.
It was plagiarism.
It was plagiarism.
Yeah. And actually, when I heard someone else do it, I realised how disgusting it actually is.
So, oh, thanks for the compliment.
So, listen, Lucy, by your own admission, you know nothing about this subject. You've got 24 seconds remaining to tell us about whatever it is that's going to come out of your mouth or other orifices. Bradford Cathedral, time starts now.
Bradford Cathedral is my favourite subject to talk about. At dinner parties, people say, will you stop banging on about Bradford Cathedral? You're obsessed with it, woman. And I say yes, because Bradford Jesus used to hang around in the vicinity of Bradford Cathedral, and that is one of the men I think we should admire above all, because these days, people who do their own thing...
Knew nothing about it, went for it, smashed it. Well done. OK, you were speaking as the whistle went. You get the point. And, Paul, we are with you. Your subject is, what a faff. What can you tell us about that? What a faff. Your time starts now.
What a faff. I suppose it's one of those phrases that means what a bit of nonsense or what a palaver. Those are words that we don't often use in the English language, but they are there for use when we do feel that particularly they are apt to the occasion. What a faff. When we look at sort of things that happen here at the British Broadcasting Corporation, we sometimes say to ourselves...
Chris.
Cooperation.
Yeah, cooperation.
It's become a cooperation.
It's become a cooperative. No, yeah. It's quite right. It's quite right.
Yes, so it was...
A... Deviation.
It was deviation from corporation. So, 43 seconds remaining. It's all yours, Chris, to remind you, the subject is what a faff, and your time starts now.
What a faff coming to Bradford can be when they recently tore up the entire city centre to make way for the City of Culture. You...
Zoe.
Two cities, I'm afraid.
Yeah. No. City... Is that... Yeah, okay.
It's a city centre in a city of culture.
Yeah, I can't really hide that one for you. Yes, Chris, it's out there.
They were quite close together.
They were very close together.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. You're really trying, aren't you?
Zoe, I'm gonna give you the point. But you know what? Chris is a very new player of the game. So I'm going to give you the point. It was a correct challenge. But I'd like Chris to tell us a bit more about what a faff is. And I don't know about you guys here with us in the audience, but I'm fascinated to know a little bit more about the urban planning decisions that have predicated this massive tear-up of the city centre. Absolutely. I believe it's an outrage that should be shared with the wider Radio 4 public. 33 seconds, Chris, and your time starts now.
Well, we are talking about urban planning and how disastrous it can be for city centres, but I would just like... Oh, no!
I mean... There's only so many times we can try.
Well, there was a repetition of city.
Yes. Well, listen, nothing more to be said, really. Let's get back to you, Paul. 27 seconds, it was a correct challenge. So what a faff, it's back with you. Time starts now.
I remember one bonfire night when I was in my early teens. My father had decided that he was going to put the firework display in the back garden. And so we all stood around as he lit the first banger. That didn't seem to do very much. It was a bit of a damp squib in every single sense of the phrase. Then he produced from his back pocket a rocket. He said, this will shoot up to the stars. And we looked up to the sky and we suddenly realised that...
Lucy?
Well, it was up twice.
Up twice, yeah.
Up twice.
It felt
up
a
twice.
Bit bad because I would have liked to know what
well,
happened.
You shouldn't have interrupted then, should you? That's how human conversation works.
Right. Listen, Lucy, it was a correct challenge. There was a repetition there. With 3 seconds remaining, you've got the subject and your time starts now.
As I download yet another parking app or use...
Yeah. Lucy gets the point. Lucy also gets the next subject, which is planning a hen do. You got 60 seconds, which may not be enough, on the topic of planning a hen do, and your time starts now.
Planning a hen do is a very delicate operation because you have to pick something that the bride will absolutely hate and that will bore the other people who are attending. Something like a wreath weaving workshop works quite well. The other type of hen night you can have is one where everything has male genitalia plastered all over it, drinking straws.
Drinking straws?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes, yes. Yes, Paul. Yes.
Hesitation.
Yep. It was hesitation. I think we all just were lost then thinking about drinking straws, so it's an understandable winding down. But, yeah, correct challenge. You get the point, you get the subject. Planning a hen do. What can you tell us about that, Paul, starting now?
If you're planning a hen do, you can do no better than to go to the city centre of Bradford, which, of course, has changed remarkably well over the decades. If I was planning a hen do, I suppose I would say to people, what's your favourite colour? Find something that bound people together. And as Lucy says, maybe... you get a whole bunch of people.
Chris.
What happened there?
Hesitation.
Yes.
And a hooah.
The hooah. Well done. Point to you for the correct challenge. You get the subject as well, which is planning a hen do. What can you tell us about that in 16 seconds starting now?
Planning a hen do can be very difficult. My wife's friends, for example, took her to Brighton when they met a gentleman who put his entire self upon her shoulder, if you understand what I'm saying. Which...
No, I don't. What was he, a parrot? He put his entire self on her shoulder.
She said she didn't like it.
Is that why you married her?
I really enjoyed the interruption for clarification. But it comes back to you, Chris, with 3 seconds remaining. Planning a hen do starting now.
But it was a tale of two halves because they went to the theatre and they...
I'm really now enjoying the idea of going to the theatre, seeing Hedda Gabler, but with a guy still behind. I tell you what I'm getting excited about, apart from that image, is the scores. You know I live for the scores, and here they are in my hand. They've just materialised. It's tight. OK, Zoe is slightly trailing, Chris in third spot, Paul in second, and just 1 point ahead, Lucy Porter. Right, round two, and we are back with you again, Zoe. A bit nervous about this one. Your subject is the time I spent New Year's Eve with Sue Perkins. What can you speak without getting my lawyers involved on the time I spent New Year's Eve with Sue Perkins? Your time starts now.
The 31st of December 2015 will be always emblazoned upon my mind. I was rather surprised to get an invitation from Sue Perkins to spend New Year's Eve with her, but I trotted around to her rather large mansion in the outskirts of somewhere particular, and the door opened, and there was nobody there except Angela Rippon. I was confused. Angela took me through to...
Paul!
Repetition of Angela.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you did sign an NDA on entry.
I did, sorry.
She won't thank you for that.
She's going to be livid.
Yeah. 36 seconds. It was a correct challenge, Paul. And you get the subject to remind you the time I spent New Year's Eve with Sue Perkins starting now.
So it was a marvellous occasion. Everybody's there with Richard Baker, Robert Dougal.
Hesitation on Richard Beck.
There was a slight hesitation.
I've gone mad now.
No, there was a slight, and Paul's a very experienced player of the game, so I'm sure he won't mind me saying you can have the benefit of the doubt there. I think that was fair enough. The time I spent New Year's Eve with Sue Perkins, 26 seconds starting now.
And we went through to the master bedroom, and there he was, ready to put his entire self upon our shoulders. Now, that was just the start of the evening, because then we had some theatre downstairs in, I would call it, a scullery, the little bit between the kitchen and the washer room. But that's where the theatre was.
Paul.
Repetition of theatre.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's in the pantry, not the scullery. Please go. Really, really want to make that quite clear to anyone listening. 6 seconds, Paul, to talk about the time I spent New Year's Eve with Sue Perkins, starting now.
As I burst out of the giant cake wearing nothing but a bow tie that span around at the bottom of my neck, I looked at Sue and I said, thanks for inviting me.
Paul speaking as the whistle went, and you get that point. Chris, you are next. Okay. Now, this subject can take you through all of space and time. It's if I were Doctor Who for a day. Mm. If I were Doctor Who for a day, what can you tell us in 60 seconds on that, starting now?
If I were Doctor Who for one single day, I would probably get into the sonic screwdriver, a tool, a device that gives you an ability to unlock doors, any challenges at all. But what we're going to do now is go to a different time. So I would go to the 1950s and hang out with Arthur!
With any one of the people I apparently invited to my New Year's Eve party. So, Zoe, you challenged?
Yes, I just seemed to be hanging out there for quite a long time with Chris. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation. Yes. That's a fair enough challenge. Well done. Chris, you spoke for 25 seconds, leaving 35 for Zoe to tell us all about if I were Doctor Who for a day, starting now.
If I were Doctor Who for the day, I would invite estate agents round to the TARDIS. We'd explore every nook and cranny of it, and I'd say it is much larger on the inside than it appears on the outside, isn't it? It's just a shame it doesn't have a garden, but I could put a little box of flowers somewhere on one of those smaller windows on the adjacent side. If I were Doctor Who for the day, I would count my Dalek collection, because I've acquired quite a few over the years. I simply run upstairs and it completely scuppers them, and then they run out of battery and...
Lucy.
She runs upstairs and they run out of battery.
Yes, they run.
Oh,
double runs.
Oh, different sort of runs, isn't it?
Yeah.
You were a very good estate agent, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was looking to put my property on the market.
Yeah, you really want to sort of advertise it as a TARDIS. That's what you want to do.
Yeah. Lucy, you buzzed with 4 seconds remaining, a correct challenge. You now get the subject. If I were Doctor Who for a day, starting now.
If I were Doctor Who for a day, I would kill Hitler and also...
Well done. Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point. Lucy also gets the next subject, which is Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, 60 seconds, starting now.
Taylor Swift would be an excellent name for an emergency clothing repair business, but it is more commonly used for a pop star who has an army of online fans called Swifties who defend her to the hilt. Thus, I will be saying nothing derogatory about her whatsoever. Taylor Swift came to my attention first through an awards ceremony where Kanye West behaved like an absolute knobber by getting up and saying, I'ma let you finish, but did not in fact allow her to conclude what she was saying. She has had many hits, including Shake It Off, which I sing to myself as I come out of the shower and am...
Hesitation, sadly.
Yes, sadly, because that was beautiful and 47 seconds long. It's wonderful. Wonderful, Lucy. Correct challenge by Paul, though. The subject, Taylor Swift, starting now.
When we used to record Have I Got News For You at London Weekend Television, I once saw Taylor Swift in a corridor. I'm not sure which show she was appearing on, but our eyes met across her packed luggage. She looked me up and down, and I saw that in her eyes there was something special. What was we buzz? Who buzzed then?
Eyes.
Eyes.
Our eyes met.
Our eyes met.
Yes. And I looked her in the eyes.
Yes. It's a correct challenge.
She's
got
right.
Two eyes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, she did have two eyes.
Yeah.
She had two eyes. One of the first things I noticed about her. Yeah. I like that in a woman, two eyes. It's good.
I mean, with 0.3 of a second to go, that was quite the challenge. She swooped in. Fantastic stuff. Zoe, correct challenge. You get the subject with 0.3 seconds remaining, starting now.
Haters...
End of round two. Let's have a look at scores. In fourth place, we've got Chris. In third, we've got Zoe. In second, Lucy. And narrowly out ahead, we've got Paul Merton. Zoe, we're going to start round three with you, and your subject is Yorkshire tea. Yes, indeed. What's that? There's some dissent in the early rows. So, yeah, Yorkshire tea. Of course, other brands are available, but not while we're here in Yorkshire. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the subject of Yorkshire tea, starting now?
Yorkshire tea is a combination of robust flavours and bouquets, mostly dry stone wall, moss and drizzle. It can be enjoyed, most of all, in a porcelain cup, but I prefer to take my Yorkshire tea in a big mug with a proper handle that I can get a grip on and slurp down my Yorkshire tea with a splash of milk and half a sugar, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. My mother will only drink Yorkshire tea. I think it's because she's from Lancashire and they don't have proper tea. And there's a bit of bitterness in her voice when she says, it has to be Yorkshire tea for me. And then we sit and have biscuits, perhaps an Eccles cake, or indeed a scone, as we sip away on our Yorkshire tea together.
Lucy?
I think they sip. She sipped.
Sip. Bearing in mind that all the scoring is done by me just writing things down with my ageing hands, I can't necessarily say whether you did say sip twice or not. I'm going to give you a point, Lucy, because on one hand she might have repeated it, but I'm going to let you take the subject, though, because you might not have. And perhaps when you're listening to the show, you can play it back and work out whether I was right or wrong. And as always, please let me know what you think. So with 10 seconds remaining, Zoe, back with you. And the subject is Yorkshire tea, starting now.
I like nothing more than filling my flask, which is tartan, by the way, in case you were wondering, with a good brew of Yorkshire tea and taking myself out across the moors in all sorts of weather.
Right, Chris, let's see what we've got next for you. Your subject is I had the last laugh. That could take a sinister turn. Up to you. You've got 60 seconds on I had the last laugh. Starting now.
I had the last laugh when I came face to face with my greatest foe, my 9-year-old son. He told me the other day, you're not funny, Dad. I said, do you work for the Telegraph? But what I did was went straight upstairs, got one of my posters for my Edinburgh shows, which had the reviews that I got during the Fringe Festival, and I brought it down and I mounted it and put it on his wall so that when he woke up, he could see how funny Dad was.
Sorry.
Two funnies.
Two pair of funnies.
Two yeah. funnies. That's it.
Do you hear that?
That's on the poster challenge. Next year, isn't it? Two funnies, Radio 4.
Exactly that. Two funnies, indeed. That means it's a successful challenge, though. You get the subject, which, to remind you, is I had the last laugh. 29 seconds remaining, starting now.
When I was at drama school, I was told I would amount to nothing. Well, I've had the last laugh, and we're still laughing now. Boy, if I could go back in time to those classes where I had to wear a movement skirt and pretend to be a tree in a wind, singing in the background as well, that was another challenge that I had to conquer. I don't know what I would say to them, but I would still be laughing.
Paul, repetition of laughing.
Yeah, sorry, I was having a mild breakdown. Sorry, that was a flashback to check off and movement skirts.
What is a movement skirt?
It's a skirt that you're moving.
Is it?
Anything but skirts are very restrictive. A movement skirt is basically a marquee they're not using at the moment.
Right, 4 seconds remain. Paul, successful challenge. I had the last laugh, starting now.
I had the last laugh at my uncle's funeral when I knocked on the door and said, I'm not dead.
Right, you finished, got the point, and sadly, we're coming to the final round. Oh. Bless you. Paul, we are with you. Your subject is my neighbourhood watch group.
Yeah, I'm actually quite involved with that.
Are you? You're an active participant.
Yeah, neighbourhood watch group, yeah, very up
Love
for
it. Love it. Well, this is going to be perfect for you. Can't wait. Mm. My neighbourhood watch group, 60 seconds, starting now.
I don't know what that is.
No.
Beautifully done. Hesitation.
We will allow hesitation, yes.
Absolutely.
58 seconds then to talk about My Neighbourhood Watch Group. Let's hear what you've got to say about that. Lucy, starting now.
My Neighbourhood Watch Group is largely a collection of footage of Ring doorbells. Other video...
A desperate attempt to avoid footage. Yeah. But so it was a hesitation.
It was indeed. Well done, you get the subject back. 49 seconds on the clock, starting now.
The general who lives on the other side of the road is very good at organising the neighbourhood watch group. He says to all the neighbours, listen, we have to be looking out for each other. And so what we do is I take between 4:30 in the morning through to around 6 o'clock a.m. and other people then do other things. Do you know, I was saying the other day to somebody on our neighbourhood watch scheme, you know, I think there is an awful lot of people who live in this road who potentially...
Lucy.
People.
Yep.
People.
Pair of people.
Yeah.
Correct challenge.
Yeah.
Repetition and 26 seconds. It goes back to you,
yeah.
Lucy. My Neighbourhood Watch Group, all yours, starting now.
On My Neighbourhood Watch Group, they often complain about scruffy individuals loitering in the street, which turns out to be me waiting to get an Uber. I love...
Chris.
Hesitation.
Yeah, a bit of hesitation. Well done, yeah. 14 seconds on the clock, my friend. My Neighbourhood Watch Group. It's all yours, starting now.
I live in a very small rural community on Hadrian's Wall, and I am the Neighbourhood Watch Group. I sit by my window, which faces directly into the adjoining B&B, and I keep a notebook, and I keep track of...
Just got there. Paul Challenge as the whistle went on B&B. Well done. You just snuck in.
This is riveting stuff.
It is.
I haven't felt adrenaline like this in a long time.
It's a white knuckle ride, this show. It really is. Final round means final scores. OK, let's have a look. Everyone did very well. In fourth position, Chris, who did magnificently, not played the game very often. Third position, Zoe. In second spot, Lucy. And marginally out ahead, tonight's winner, Paul Merton. And there, sadly, we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to our incredible players, Zoe Lyons, Chris Cantrell, Paul Merton and Lucy Porter. We're indebted to Ian Messiter and the great Nicholas Parsons. And we also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so delicately. The producer was Georgia Keating, and it was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening wherever you are. And please do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.